Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning and a happy Friday morning to you. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. My number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, you know what's happening today, right? If you've been listening to Relevant Radio at all, we've been talking a great deal about this momentous event that's taking place about 5 p.m. Rome time. It'll be about 11 a.m. Central Time, where we are here at Relevant Radio, headquarters in Chicago, and wherever you happen to be, you're invited, you're encouraged to participate in the consecration prayer that's going to be prayed in Rome by Pope Francis at the Vatican. It's going to be covered globally, and you'll be able to hear it right here on Relevant Radio when it happens live. So by all means, you don't want to tune away from this. This is an historic event. It's a momentous event. One priest in an article that came out recently described it as an ecclesial earthquake. I'll share his comments with you. And yes, there are controversies. They've been raging for a long time. You know, does this mean anything? I certainly think it does. But Pope Francis has asked everybody to join together, all the bishops. In fact, just a quick stop on that point, all the bishops in the world were sent a letter. That's the passive voice, isn't it? He sent a letter, let's put it that way, to all the bishops in the world with an invitation to join him in this consecration. Now, you're saying, well, okay, the consecration, what is it? It is a way of entrusting yourself in a kind of formal way. You're entrusting yourself to the care and the protection and the prayers, the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In this case, it's referring to Our Lady. Of course, you consecrate yourself to the Lord, and that's what happens in baptism. Part of what your baptism was when you were baptized as a little bitty baby. Those of you who were baptized as little bitty babies, I was. It's a form of consecrating you to the Lord, but it takes a sacramental form. So there's power in that sacrament, not merely just the symbolism of it, but you are indeed being consecrated to the Lord. But in a lesser sense, in a subordinate sense, in an analogous sense, we can also consecrate ourselves, for example, to our Blessed Mother. There are those who may say, well, that's not good theology, or that's not what Catholics should do. Well, keep in mind that Our Lady herself requested this when she appeared at Fatima in 1917. She appeared to the shepherd children. And one of the things that she talked about there, as well as in later apparitions that she had on a more private basis with the oldest of the three children, sister, she became a religious sister, Sister Lucia. She asked for this. So for those who say, well, that's just bad theology. No, Our Lady doesn't do bad theology. If anything, that would be those people's inability to look a little bit broader than maybe what they're accustomed to seeing. So when you hear this word consecration, bear in mind a couple things. Number one, that's the term that she used when she said, ask the Holy Father to consecrate Russia to my Immaculate Heart. Otherwise, big problems. Russia will spread its errors all around the world. Many people are going to die and suffer, paraphrasing here. Whole nations will be annihilated. And I've always puzzled, what does that word annihilated mean? Does it mean that the borders will be redrawn? Maybe in the Soviet Union times, for example, when they would just absorb neighboring countries into their, you know, into their maw, M-A-W. That's possible, I suppose. I mean, it's possible that maybe that's what she meant, but annihilation seems to be a pretty big word for just redrawing the, you know, the lines on the map where the borders used to be. It has a sinister connotation, if you ask me. Annihilation, to me, means nuclear war. Some form of obliterating a country. Now, who are those countries? She doesn't specify. But she just says that if the consecration takes place when it's supposed to, you know, when she asked for it to be done, then those problems could be avoided. She said the Holy Father will have much to suffer. She doesn't say which Holy Father. We've had a bunch since then, since 1970. It's been 105 years now. So this is a momentous time, and please understand that you're seeing something in the life of the church that for 105 years, countless hundreds of millions of Catholics have longed for. They've longed for this. They've waited for this. They've wondered, why isn't this happening? Now, I'd like to add, of course, that along the way, there have been some other papal consecrations of Russia, but not by name, to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so we have it on, I'd say, good moral authority from those who knew Pope John Paul II well, that when he consecrated the world to Our Lady, he was intending to say Russia by name. And there was some, you know, some pressure maybe applied to say, could you just not say Russia? That might cause some problems politically. And after all, they just tried to have you assassinated in 1981. I guess that shows they're a little bit prickly when it comes to the activities of Pope John Paul II and the Catholic Church. So for whatever his reasons were, it wasn't a consecration the way I guess everybody was assuming and expecting it would be, where he would just say, consecrating Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But in subsequent interviews that Sister Lucia had, and yes, I know there are people who say Lucia, there are some people who say Lucia. The reason you hear me say Lucia, I'm not trying to be contrarian. I'm really not. I'm not trying to be different. But having been to Portugal, having been to Fatima, and knowing a number of people who are Portuguese, I've asked, just to double check, just to make sure it wasn't a fluke, I've asked umpteen different people, including in Fatima, how do you say her name? Is it Lucia? No. Is it Lucia? No. How do you say it? Lucia. Really? Lucia. I said, they don't say it that way in Spanish. Lucia. No, here we say Lucia. So for that reason, again, not to be contrarian, when you hear me say Sister Lucia, it's only because in Portugal, in Fatima, any number of people have confirmed that that's how they say it. So, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans, right? So, point being here, that there is, and I acknowledge that there is a controversy as to whether or not that consecration was really a fulfillment of the request that Our Lady made to Sister Lucia, have the Holy Father consecrate Russia to my Immaculate Heart. And the arguments more or less fall into one of two categories. On one side, it would be those who say, well, he didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm consecrating Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He didn't say the word Russia. And of course, it's possible that he said it under his breath. I mean, there are all sorts of ways that you can litigate that, but that's one primary objection. He didn't say it. He didn't say it the way she said it. Okay, now the other side of the argument is cardinals, bishops, others who had access to Sister Lucia and who met with her and asked her this question. Here's what Pope John Paul II said. Here is the consecration prayer. And I'm sure she was probably apprised of that before it took place. Here's what he said. Was this considered a fulfillment of the request? And on several occasions, including in situations where it was recorded, so it wasn't hearsay, as I mentioned yesterday. It wasn't just somebody who said, yeah, she said it was okay. There are recordings of her saying this, and in writing as well, as I understand it. So that's the other side of the coin, is that I guess if anybody would know, and if anybody would be in a position to evaluate the efficacy of this consecration, wouldn't it be her? Seems to me. And on multiple occasions, she said yes. It fulfilled it. Not exactly what Our Lady asked for, but it fulfilled it. So that's why as we gather today, and it'll be in less than 3 hours now, we're going to be experiencing, in a way, something that is the same, but it's different. And why is it different? Why is it different this time around? There are a few particular differences now, today, that are unique as compared to, say, 1986, when Pope John Paul II did his consecration. And there have been other consecrations. Pope Paul VI did his. There have been a variety of ones. And for those who are keeping score, it seems, you know, for the purists, for the rigorists, there's always something missing in each one of those, they'll say, you know, well, it didn't have this element, didn't have that element. They didn't invite the bishops. They didn't do this. Okay, fine, fine. Pope Francis invited all the bishops. The word Russia appears in black and white in the consecration. You heard me read the prayer to you a couple of days ago. When it first came out, that morning, I read it to you verbatim, about 4 pages long. Here's what's different. If you've been watching the news, who's in the news right now? Russia. What is Russia doing? Russia has invaded Ukraine. Russia is pulverizing this country. It's destroying it before our very eyes. We're all watching on TV. The people over there are running for cover, and a lot of them aren't making it. A lot of dead civilians. So that's the big difference, is that when any of these other consecrations were taking place, we weren't on the brink of nuclear war with Russia. We are on the brink of nuclear war with Russia right now, today, in your very lifetime. I think that's what makes this day, compared to all the other days in which consecrations have been made. Again, keep in mind the word consecration, it means that you're entrusting yourself to Our Lady's protection. You're asking her in a particular way to pray for you. In this case, pray for all of us so that nuclear war can be avoided, and that Russia will just, you know, can you just get down off that platform, please, Russia? Can you just get normal, please? Now, that's not to say that we're normal. Even as the words left my mouth, I had a moment of irony as I'm thinking about who are we in the United States to lecture anybody about normalcy. Maybe we were back in the 1950s, kind of, sort of, maybe, but by comparison to 2022, I mean, come on. Do you think that the land of TikTok is in any position to morally lecture Russia? I don't think so. We've got plenty of our own problems. But it's interesting. Don't you think it's interesting that Our Lady didn't mention the United States of America? She didn't mention the European Union. She didn't mention China. She talked about Russia a lot. And so here we are. And that's, again, that's why what is happening today is so momentous, because it's different from ever before. It's different because all the bishops of the world have been formally invited and encouraged to participate in this consecration of entrustment to Our Lady. That's different. Different Pope. Yeah, and I mean, I don't even need to advert to the fact that hasn't it been a very unusual time in the church, let's just say, for about the last 9 years or so? It's been an incredibly unusual, almost weird time in the church, with strange things happening, like Cardinal Pell being framed for a crime he didn't commit and being sent to prison, and then being exonerated unanimously by the highest court in that state in Australia, and then being liberated. When they revisited the trial and they looked at all the pseudo evidence, there really was no evidence. There was nothing. And the ham-fisted Australian government, they forbade journalists and news outlets from reporting on the actual facts under pain of legal problems. And so when the highest court in that state in Australia, when they reviewed all this evidence and they realized there is no evidence here, there's nothing here that would indicate that he, in fact, they went through and they said, for all this and this and this and this and these other reasons, it's impossible that he could have committed this crime that he was alleged to have committed. Now, we talked about that in detail when it happened, so we don't have to get back into it. That's weird, don't you think? And of course, Cardinal Pell was released after they overturned unanimously that stupid verdict that put him in prison in the first place. By the way, he's written a 3-part book series of his time in prison called Prison Journals. And they're published by Ignatius Press. So if you want to read about his ordeal from his own, you know, experience telling it in the first person, I would get those and read them. I found them fascinating. So that's that's different, that things are as weird as they are. And what about this? Pope Francis, okay, he's the Pope. Pope Benedict, who's no longer the Pope, he goes by the title Pope Emeritus. You can't have two popes at one time. he goes by the title Pope Emeritus, also unique in all of Catholic history. There's never been another Pope Emeritus. There have been popes who have retired, only a few of them. But there's never been a retired pope living, in essence, in the current pope's backyard. Because Pope Emeritus Benedict, no longer pope, he lives in a building that was, it's on the grounds of the Vatican City State. Very small piece of land. I mean, the Vatican City State is what, maybe at least that section of the grounds, right around St. Peter's, maybe what, 30 acres perhaps, maybe a little bit bigger perhaps. And so he's living in one of those little buildings. That's different. You've got a former pope and a current pope. And they say that Pope Benedict, Emeritus Pope Benedict, is going to participate privately. Wouldn't that be wild if when the cameras start rolling today in Rome and you see Pope Francis there ready to make the consecration, wouldn't it be wild if Pope Emeritus Benedict is sitting next to him? That would be wild. No Christian has ever seen anything like that in 2,000 years of history, but you will. That's different. Okay, and then we have the Russia thing. We have Vladimir Putin and his henchmen on a daily basis now, through their state-controlled media, threatening Europe, threatening the United States, threatening the world, threatening you and your kids, by the way, with nuclear holocaust. I mean, they're saying it. They're not just like alluding to it. It's not wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's they're saying it. We will nuke you. Just saying the words now. We've never seen that before. So, yeah, there's a lot going on today, and it is momentous, and you're living to see it. And what does this mean exactly? And where do we go from here? Once the consecration is said and done, what happens next? I think some people are wondering, will we see some instantaneous change? I'm guessing probably not. I mean, unless Vladimir Putin drops dead of a heart attack 60 seconds after the consecration prayer is prayed. Now, that would be wild. I'm not wishing it on him, although I do know a venerable old Carmelite sister. She's still around, and she shared with me that from time to time she would, you know, I guess people like Putin or others, she'd say, "Dear Lord, please change his heart or stop it." And I don't know if I have the gumption to pray like she did, but if you see Vladimir Putin drop dead of a heart attack 60 seconds after the consecration prayer is over, then you'll know, okay, perhaps this is intended by God to be a sudden and dramatic turn of events. But I'm guessing probably not. What happens after this consecration? God only knows. God only knows. But you have a ringside seat to this momentous occasion that, as I say, countless generations of Catholics have waited for. Well, maybe not countless. Many generations have waited for this day, and you get to see it. So, with that in mind, we're going to turn to phone calls here in a minute. I just wanted to sort of frame the circumstances for what's going on today. And just a reminder as we go to our break, we're carrying this live here on Relevant Radio. So anywhere in the world that you are, we have a large listening audience all around the world, people listening with the Relevant Radio app. So if you're in Dubuque or if you're in Dubai, wherever you are and you're listening to Relevant Radio right now, please don't change the channel. Please don't turn off your app. Please keep listening. And as things develop, and certainly when the consecration begins in less than 3 hours now, so it'll be about 2.5 hours, we're going to bring it to you live. You don't want to miss this. And remember, too, that the Pope has encouraged everybody everywhere, if you can, it's not under pain of sin or anything, but if you can, pop into a church, spend some time there between about 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Central Time, and just do the time calculations for where you live. And go into a church, spend some time there, pray for peace, pray for the conversion of Russia, and if it's possible to go to confession, the Holy Father also says go to confession. So don't forget to do that if you possibly can. And hopefully there will be a church near you that you can do that. All right, we're going to step aside. I'm coming right back. Tell your friends. This is a big day. Tell them to listen to Relevant Radio today. Text them, whatever you need to do. But let's get everybody on board. The number again, 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code PATRICK for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Special day today, as you know. Pope Francis will be consecrating the world, Russia, and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And if you missed the first part of the show, I sort of outlined what makes this day unique and unusual compared to all the other times when popes have done a similar kind of consecration. Let's get to the phones, 888-914-9149. Let's start off with Mike listening in Chicago. Good morning, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. I told your call screener that first I just wanted to say thank you. I called back in August to talk to you about getting my young daughter to pay attention during Mass. And you gave me some great tips, and everything is working out great. So you probably don't remember that, but I figured I just wanted to say thank you for that.
But what did you do, out of curiosity? All the parents with young children are wondering, what was the advice? Because even I don't remember what it was, but...
Yeah, no, so you recommended the Holy Heroes website to sort of get like a couple books for my daughter to have with her at Mass that were kind of like Bible stories or about saints that she can sort of differentiate between, you know, regular books and what was going on Sundays, you know, during the Mass. And she has really, in the last several months, connected with a lot of the parts of the Mass. There's a statue of the Pietà in my church. I go to St. Mary of the Angels in Chicago, which I know you know. And she loves that statue. She gravitates toward it. She'll say, Dada, Jesus has an owie, you know, and Mary's crying. And it's just so beautiful how she's starting to make connections to what she's seeing in the books. And, you know, what's going on in church. And, I'm really grateful for that advice that you gave me because it's kind of hard as a new parent and a young parent to, you know, inculcate that faith at a young age and know what you're doing, you know. So I appreciated that.
Well, God bless you and your wife. Oh, most welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's good to hear.
Thank you. Yeah. So the reason for my call today was you mentioned that there are, and you used the word purist, and I thought that was a great word because I couldn't find a word for it myself. But I've been in conversation with a lot of friends and colleagues, and everybody seems to be looking for technicalities or ways to discredit all the previous consecrations to Russia and all the previous attempts to, you know, to move in that direction. And I couldn't, I took it to my own prayer, and I couldn't help but think, you know, conversion is constant, and it's not like a snap of a finger, you know, when you say a prayer of consecration, and then poof, everything's going to be okay, unless you're, you know, St. Paul. that's pretty rare, right, where things are just change instantly. So I wouldn't be surprised if we need to constantly be praying for Russia. And Russia will have to be constantly reconverted, and the rosary will have to continue being prayed. My own thought is that I didn't think that this was going to be something that Our Lady said, okay, at a drop of a hat, you're going to say this prayer, and poof, Russia's going to change. That's what my thoughts were.
And you know what? She didn't say that. Well, here's what's interesting, Mike. She didn't say that. I think maybe that is the expectation that people bring to this. Not because of something she said per se, but just the assumption that, oh, okay, well, she said, well, then if you do this, Russia will be converted. And the assumption is that it will happen either instantaneously or it will happen very quickly. And that is not necessarily the case. So let's say, let's just for the sake of argument, Mike, and I don't hold this view, but let's just say for the sake of argument that none of the attempts at a consecration or entrustment to Our Lady by any pope between the time of Fatima and today, let's just say none of them actually fulfilled a request. All right, so if we see what happens today, and for the sake of discussion, let's say this does fulfill the request, because there are some people who are niggling and backbiting and carping and moaning and complaining. Well, why does it also include Ukraine? She didn't say anything about Ukraine, you know. She didn't say how the prayer had to be written. She just said, consecrate Russia. And in this consecration, Russia is mentioned by name. So some people are unhappy because they don't like the fact that humanity is mentioned. They don't like the fact that Ukraine is mentioned. All right, whatever. But let's just say for discussion that this particular prayer at this particular time, let's just say that it does fulfill her request that Russia would be converted. So to your point, does that mean that Vladimir Putin drops out of a heart attack 60 seconds later? Probably not. Although if that did happen, imagine the radio show I'm going to have on Monday. But it's probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen. It's probably going to be gradual, the way heaven typically works. Heaven tends to work in gradual, often unnoticed ways, and maybe that's what will happen here. I just don't know. We're standing on the brink of something momentous. I don't know what will happen, quite frankly.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree with you, and I'm just wondering, how do we get people to change their mindset from looking for sensationalist headlines and, you know, groundbreaking changes to understanding that, you know, that this is a process and it could take time? How do we engage people with that?
I think it's one thing to say it, and perhaps the average person listening right now who doesn't come to the table with a set of grievances or with a plan. I mean, let's face it. Some people just love to argue. That's what they like to do. They want to argue. They want to find fault, you know, kind of a spirit of criticism. There is, granted, for the last 9 years or so, it's been a very strange place, a very strange time. A lot of strange things have happened in the Catholic Church, without doubt. And I think that there are some people who have become a little extra paranoid as a result, a little extra suspicious, a little extra cynical about these things. And there's a lot of political angst in the air. And for many people, I really believe that it's difficult, if not impossible, for some people to separate their political anxieties and their religious anxieties and their frustrations about who gets elected and who doesn't get elected, and, you know, who gets on the Supreme Court and who doesn't get on the Supreme Court, and so many things that go into it. And when, without realizing it, maybe there's a blending of their political angst and their religious angst. Sometimes things can be over-magnified or overblown or exaggerated. But here we're dealing with something that is unknown territory. Because if the naysayers are correct, and I don't think they are personally, I don't think they are. But if they were correct in that this had never actually been properly done before, well, I mean, it's being done today. And Russia is being named as part of this consecration prayer. Some people are saying, oh, well, the consecration prayer, it's just a bunch of talking points. You're missing the point. Not you, Mike. And by the way, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. And I'm so happy to know that your little daughter is getting more out of the Mass at that young age. That's really a beautiful thing. Thank you. I think people are missing the point if they can't see that there is a really good and important thing that's happening today, because it doesn't live up to their exacting specifications of how they would do it if they were Pope. Well, guess what, guys? You're not Pope. And the Blessed Virgin Mary didn't ask you to do this. A lot of popes along the way, for some strange reason, declined to do what they were asked to do. I don't know why. That's one of the weird things. I don't understand why a pope would say, not so much. I mean, if the Mother of God appears and asks for something, maybe it's just me, but if I were Pope, I would probably say, oh, okay. So here we are, and it's happening in about 2 hours and 20 minutes from now, and you're going to live to see it. And I think it's exciting. And I don't mean exciting like, hey, we're going to a football game. That's exciting. I don't mean it like that. In a way, it could be kind of terrifying if you think about this, because as I mentioned earlier, Vladimir Putin and his proxies through the state-controlled media propaganda outlets in Russia, they're now routinely saying on a near daily basis that, hey, if you get in our way, we're going to nuke you. They're saying it. It used to be just sort of an implied threat. Now it's being said. We rarely, if ever, other than maybe during the Khrushchev era, ever had to worry about that, but it's happening now. So this is coming not a moment too soon, if you ask me. Let's go now to, let's go to Rosa in Brooklyn. Good morning, Rosa.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call. I've had a kind of a sort of a dramatic experience today. I got up a lot early because I'm on my way to a pro-life event here in New York, New York City. So I went to Mass for the Annunciation, and I was the last one in line, and he totally denied me. Oh, my goodness. And he totally denied me communion, the priest. And I asked him, I was the last one in line. I asked him, are you denying me communion? And he said, yes, I'm not allowed to get it. It's not allowed to give it on the tongue. And I didn't want to accept it in my hand. I do that. I'm the last one in line. And I prefer to, you know, I'm really kind of a, I don't know, I don't get emotional that much, but I started getting emotional about it because I really wanted communion today. Is it against the law to give communion on the tongue? I've been to all the churches in Brooklyn here. We never had a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, this one particular priest is doing that. And I am kind of a bit of, I don't know how to say it, but anyway.
You're bothered by it. It upsets you, right?
Yes, and it's upsetting. I'm getting a little more. I don't get emotional. I really don't. I'm not the kind of person that gets emotional. But I, yeah.
I understand. Well, let me. We have a break coming, so forgive my interruption, Rosa. I'm assuming that this is somehow still, even today, COVID-related, because there are still some pockets of extremism when it comes to these overblown, exaggerated, extravagant precautions that were unnecessary from the very beginning, this being one of them. Distribution of Holy Communion in the hand being mandatory, in my view, and I'm not a bishop, so it's not for me to make these decisions, but it was an unnecessary precaution. So it may be that that's all it is. Maybe that Father McGillicuddy that you went to today is a very good priest, but he's been told you're not allowed to give communion on the tongue. It's entirely possible that that's all that was and that he wasn't being mean. I suppose the alternative is also possible. Maybe it was something like that. But in any case, think of it this way, Rosa. Number one, I personally encourage receiving Holy Communion on the tongue. So I'm empathetic to you. I hope you understand that. I'm empathetic to you. I wish that everybody received Holy Communion on the tongue. I wish that nobody received Holy Communion in the hand. Because I think Holy Communion on the tongue is by far a more preferable way to receive our Lord. But that's beside the point, because what I think or what my opinion is doesn't matter. You know, it's what does the church permit? And the church does permit it. So who am I to argue? I have my personal preference, but that's about it. So I'm empathetic to you, but look at it this way. This is an opportunity for you to offer up your suffering to the Lord. Turn this into something beautiful. Turn this into a gift for God. Jesus, you know that I would prefer to receive Holy Communion on the tongue. I was sort of flustered. I was taken aback. You know that, Lord. And I felt like it was unjust and unfair and maybe kind of mean. And boy, did people do mean things to you, Jesus. And all the mean things that people did to you, up to including killing you, you did for me. You experienced that suffering for me, for my sins. So I'm offering you this little suffering of mine and ask the Lord to purify you. And he will. And don't let this suffering go to waste. It's not a big thing in the big picture. It's not a big thing in the big scheme of things, but it is a thing. So that would be my advice. Turn this to your advantage. Pray for that priest. And maybe every time you see him, or every time you think about this incident and you start getting angry, or you start getting emotional and you start feeling, you know, those feelings that you're feeling right now, maybe you can turn that into almost like an alarm clock that's set. So whenever that goes off, you say, oh, that's right. I need to say a Hail Mary and an Our Father and a Glory Be for that priest, that he'll be a good and holy priest. See, you can take this and turn it around to your advantage and to his advantage. There's nothing you can do about it. It's over and done. So that would be my advice. And then if it's the kind of thing that persists and you don't want to go through it again, I wouldn't blame you. Then I would say maybe go to a different parish where you're not going to run into that. I hope that helps, Rosa, I do. I'll be right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. Isn't that beautiful? That's a interpretation of the classic Ave Maria, Hail Mary in Latin, by an artist named Aria. And if you look that up on your whatever your music platform of choice is, you'll find it. And there are plenty of other kind of sacred music interpretations by, I don't know if Aria is a her or a they. Aria could easily be an ensemble of musicians. But anyway, I've been listening to that music, that album, and actually a couple of other albums by Aria for, I don't know, 20 years now, however long it's been. So that seems like a particularly fitting song on today, the 25th of March, the Feast of the Annunciation, on which we will also experience this unprecedented situation in the life of the Church in which Pope Francis is going to consecrate Russia, along with humanity, along with Ukraine, in a special prayer of consecration or entrustment to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And the reason for Russia, of course, is because back in Fatima times, Fatima happened 105 years ago. And it was in the context of Fatima that Our Lady requested that the Pope, without naming which Pope, she just said, ask the Holy Father to consecrate Russia to my Immaculate Heart. Otherwise, there are going to be serious problems, up to and including annihilation of nations because of Russian errors and the problems that Russia will provoke all around the world. She did say, in the end, Russia will be converted. It's interesting how she said that too. She says, in the end, that to me suggests that it might not happen for a long time. In the end, Russia will be converted and there'll be a period of peace. So whether you're a purist when it comes to the previous attempts by different popes, including Pope John Paul II, to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and maybe you say, nope, that doesn't fit the bill. He didn't do this, he didn't do that, didn't do it this way, didn't do it that way, doesn't fit the bill. Okay. Remember that she said, in the end. So it's possible that this prophetic statement included the connotation that maybe it wouldn't be done exactly the way it should have been done until it was like really late in the game, kind of like maybe where we are right now, as Russia is poised to go to plan B because their invasion of Ukraine is an abject failure. What is it now? 40,000 Russian troops dead? Most of them dead, some of them wounded, but 40,000 of them in the last month? So you'd have to think that Vladimir Putin is getting a bit antsy, wouldn't you think? And there's not a plan C or D or E or F. There's basically just a plan B, and that is if they're cornered and they feel, you know, Russia, that is, and they feel like there's no way out, what are they going to do? Well, chances are they're going to blast their way out. And how are they going to do that? They're going to do it with tactical battlefield nuclear weapons. That's what they're saying. So this is a big day. If you're a purist, okay, this should make you happy. If you're one of those people, and I guess I'm one of them, I'm one of you, who say that Sister Lucia said that it was acceptable, it was fulfilled when Pope John Paul II did his consecration in 1986. I fall into that camp. Well, then what I'm saying is so much the better. And if maybe, as we look at what Our Lady said, that in the end, Russia will be converted, that's very plausible to assume that she meant that it's not going to happen all at once. It's not going to just suddenly instantaneously take place. Now, we did see the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991. That was kind of a big deal, don't you think? Kind of a big deal that the Berlin Wall came down. Kind of a big deal that the godless communist evil empire of the Soviet Union went away, not with a bang, but with a whimper, without a shot being fired, without a nuke going off. That's a big deal, don't you think? And in retrospect, I suppose that gives a lot of credence, a lot of weight to the view that what Pope John Paul did, St. John Paul, Pope John Paul, that what he did in 1986, that it was, at the very least, it helped. Kind of looked to me like it helped. So now we're back again at some crossroads with Russia, and it's even more dire now, it seems. So I am glad of it that Pope Francis is doing what he's doing today. I'd like to know what you think. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Anthony in, where's Anthony? Pahokee, Florida? Do I have the name of the town right?
Yeah, Pahokee. That's right.
All right. Well, welcome.
That's right. Thank you for taking my call, Patrick. I enjoy your sure. radio messages every day. I've been listening. And the consecration Thank of you. Mary is so important. That if everyone would take up the rosary and pray to Mary and ask for her blessings and to stop this terrible annihilation of 10,000 people displaced and so many people injured and hurt and killed, we need her peace to calm the situation down. I think I'd like to know what your thoughts about that is, Patrick.
I concur, although the figures I'm seeing are that the number of Ukrainians that are displaced, as in having fled the country, now numbers into the millions. So it's, you know, maybe in excess of 2 million people thus far. And the number is probably higher than that, actually, but at least 2 million people have fled Ukraine and gone primarily to Poland. But I think we're getting 100,000 Ukrainian refugees here in the U.S. Welcome, everybody. So there's that issue. Then you also have people who are still living in Ukraine or, you know, trying to live under the circumstances whose homes have been blown to smithereens. So they don't have a place to live. They are displaced, but they're living in their country. So it is a big mess, no doubt about that. Now, as to your point about asking Our Lady to pray for us, if it hadn't been for Fatima, I don't think that any of us would recognize the prophetic implications of what's going on right now. And what has been going on with Russia. I mean, after all, harken back to 1981 when it was Russia through their Bulgarian proxies. Bulgaria was just a puppet state controlled by the Soviet Union. And they orchestrated the assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II, 1981. I remember what I was doing when it happened. I remember what I was doing when I heard that John Paul II had been elected in 1978. That was a wild time, as you probably remember. But I remember I was in my car. I was heading back to my job, and I heard on the radio there's been an assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II. And we don't know if he's alive or dead because they whisked him away in the Pope Mobile, and there's blood everywhere. And they caught the gunman, and other people were injured, and he took two or three bullets, and that's all we know. It's like, whoa. And, of course, it was touch and go with John Paul II, and as we found out later, he came this close to dying. But he said that he believed that Our Lady, for whom he has had the deepest devotion, he believed, and he said that he believed, that she intervened and maybe slightly averted the bullet so that it wouldn't kill him. It would injure him. And he was in the hospital for quite a while. I imagine that was a very painful recovery. He took a bullet in the finger. I think he had a bullet in the wrist. He had a bullet in his abdomen. And he said that it was through her intercession that he didn't die. So if it had gone in that direction, and you got the Russians killing the Pope in St. Peter's, in his own backyard, that would certainly fit into the prophetic information that Our Lady gave us in Fatima about Russia provoking errors, and the Holy Father would have much to suffer. et cetera, et cetera. It didn't happen quite that way. Came close. So if we can use Pope John Paul II as a kind of a paradigm, and this, again, is my answer to your question, then it makes complete sense that today of all days, but every day, really, you should be praying the rosary. That's what Our Lady asked. Pray the rosary. Pray the rosary for peace. Pray the rosary that Russia will stop its nonsense. I'm paraphrasing. And thank God, I'll leave it at this, Anthony, thank God that people, some of them anyway, are praying the rosary. I'm just so proud and happy, and I don't even know what all the right words are, when I consider how many people, men, women, and children, every evening gather together and pray the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky and Margaret Kleinschmidt here on Relevant Radio. And that's not a commercial. I mean, that goes around the country and around the world. And so you've got people, maybe for whom praying the rosary was never a thing that they ever really did before, but when they discovered the Family Rosary Across America, which is nightly here on Relevant Radio, they said, yes, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I've been looking for. And now they're praying the rosary faithfully. And the number of people doing that is growing and growing and growing. Think of all the memorares that we pray together on a daily basis here on Relevant Radio. We pray at the beginning of each hour during pledge drive, but we're praying these memorares to the tune of hundreds of millions of memorares. I've got to think that's having an effect. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's any direct connection, but I suspect there is. But think about it this way. With hundreds of millions of memorares being prayed by people just like you in connection with Relevant Radio all around the world. And I'm not saying, hey, let's, you know, hey, Relevant Radio. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it just so happens that Relevant Radio has been promoting for years now, pray the memorare, and we have hundreds of millions of these prayers that you and others have prayed. Don't you think that would move the needle a little bit? So I've wondered in those odd moments when I've tried to kind of wrap my mind around all the things that are unfolding in the world today, especially with Russia, etc. I can't help but wonder. I wonder if maybe all those hundreds of millions of memorares had something to do, maybe, with prompting Pope Francis to do this, with it's so hard to tell, but I think there's a connection. And that's where you come in, because if you're not praying the rosary, if you're not teaching your kids to pray the rosary, if you're not attentive to these messages, then, I mean, they really are falling on deaf ears. But I know you're not. I know you are attentive to these things. We have to take a break. We now are an hour and, well, 2 hours away, ostensibly at least, from when the consecration is going to start in Rome with Pope Francis. And we're going to cover that live for you. So please, you want to stay glued to the radio or to the Relevant Radio app. Do not tune away. I don't want you to miss anything. And if something happens before the allotted time, we're going to bring it to you live. So you're going to get everything here, and you will not miss anything if you stay here with me and with Father Rocky and Drew, who are coming up after this program is over. They're going to take you through the consecration. And I'm here for you for the next 2 hours. Your phone calls, I'm going to be taking those on the other side of this quick timeout. My number is 888-914-9149. If you get a busy signal, please just hit redial. Keep hitting redial, and we'll get you in there. 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show, and I'm going to be right back right after this.